I asked each one of them if they would have any comments on the election results from last evening. And Secretary Berglund, you can start.
No surprises. I'm one who believes in the value of poll taking. I know it's people tend to poo-poo and criticize, but truth of the matter is it's good marketing. They know what they're doing. It changes from hour to hour because attitudes change. But the results were just about as the poll takers predicted, and so there were no surprises. The question is, where do we go from here? And what the one thing that is very much unclear is what the Republican caucus in the House of Representatives is going to do. They have veto control. The Senate can take an action. It can go to the House for consideration, and the Senate or the House of Representatives has to agree to something or nothing. And up until now, it's been nothing. And Chairman or the Majority Leader in the House, Congressman Boehner, is a very fine man, a good guy, good sense, an honorable fellow, an honest guy. And he's trying to get his caucus to agree on a provision or provisions in the new farm bill that up till now they've not been willing to do. And so they had to postpone the vote on it, and it'll come back up again here and soon, I think, in the lame duck session. I have no clue how that thing will turn out. We'll see.
Okay, I guess my thoughts are about the election is that it was a close election. If things had turned one way or the other, it could have gone the other way. But think about it this way. After a whole year of debating and all kinds of ads and money spent and the whole thing, and that's the American system, nothing has changed. I mean, we have the same president for four more years that didn't get anything done. We have Harry Reid who's going to run the Senate again. They never even put forth a budget. Never put forth a budget in the last 3 years, so we don't know what we're supposed to do. And any farm or family's got to have a little idea of how much money they're going to take in and how much money they're going to spend. But the federal government, the biggest operation, the biggest corporation of all, hasn't even had a budget. I mean, it's indefensible. And we have a huge debt on our shoulders. So it's going to be a real challenge there. The House of Representatives has not changed. Virtually the same number of Republicans, and their philosophy's not changed. So you're going to have one side saying, we'll tax the rich, the other side saying, no new taxes. So where are we? Well, I think it remains to be seen. I'm a born optimist, so I'm kind of hopeful that everybody will step back and take a new look and realize if we got the fiscal cliff of $600 billion of tax increases and government spending cuts that are facing us the first of the year, and that's going to be automatic if we don't deal with that. We're going to have another occasion here, I think, in February. We're going to have to vote to expand the debt of the country, and we're taking on debt every year of $1 trillion. We're up to $16 trillion. It's totally unsustainable. Europe is in deep trouble because they have spent way more money than they can afford to spend. And it's time the United States kind of took a lesson. Look across the water over there and look where they're at. We don't want to be living like Greece. So I think we've got a lot of challenges on our shoulders. We've got smart people, good people, but they've just got to sit down and fix some of these problems. And it's not going to be easy. It's going to be very painful. And I'd say this whole political race this year, they didn't talk enough about the real problems. They got into all kinds of social junk and so forth. I know that's important to some people, but the serious problems are our debt, our spending, and our screwed up tax system. We've got to deal with these kind of things, and it didn't get enough attention. And so when the Congress now finds they really need to deal with these things, They're afraid to do it. They wouldn't touch them all this last year. The only person to put out a decent budget was Paul Ryan, the House budget, and the Senate wouldn't vote on it. We got a lot of challenges ahead of us. That's where I am.
Jack and I will show our political biases a bit here, as will Bob. But, that's what makes this country tick. I'm not sure how well it ticks sometimes, but let me give my a few additional comments. I would basically say amen to what everything that Jack had to say there. In terms of the farm bill, Bob will eventually get a farm bill. I'm not sure it'll get done in the lame duck session. It will be discussed in the lame duck session, but whether or not you can incorporate it into something that will pass is another question entirely. I still think the chances of that happening are probably less than 50-50, which means that they would do something temporary, kick the can down the road a bit, and then deal with it next year. The big problem with that, of course, as everybody here knows, is that the Senate, which has already passed the bill, has to start over. It's a new Congress, so you'd have to run that same legislation through the Senate again, which would probably happen, and with essentially no change, maybe no change whatsoever. And the House would still have to act, and thus far the votes are just simply not there in the House to pass this legislation. But eventually it'll get done because the Congress is not going to leave American agriculture with no safety net at all. That just isn't going to happen. It'll be a safety net based much more on crop insurance than anything else. That's a substantial change from the past. But at any rate, that will eventually happen. But back to I think what's really challenging this country is, what do we do about $1 trillion deficits? That just cannot go on. And as Jack mentioned, nobody took that on in this election. It's not surprising that President Obama chose not to do so, because his political support emanates from groups who are the beneficiaries of a lot of that $1 trillion deficit. We're really talking about entitlement programs, Medicare, Medicaid, and, of course, Social Security, and then even programs that dip into USDA, like food stamps. We've got huge, huge deficits in these areas. And, ideas to deal with those head-on did not surface in the election. I wish they had on our side, simply because I think somebody has to have the courage to do so. I went out and campaigned in Iowa for a day on behalf of Governor Romney, and one of the things they said to me was, "Don't say anything about entitlements while you're here." I thought to myself, you guys don't want to talk about entitlements at all, for heaven's sakes. Demonstrate a little courage. But they didn't talk about entitlements. And good and well, President Obama did not talk about entitlements. He spent the entire campaign, or his organization did, seeking to destroy his opponent. And they spent billions and billions of dollars in doing so, in campaign funding, as everybody here knows. That's not a recipe for leadership either. So we've had very little leadership on either side. And you don't see anybody in the Congress that's stepping up on this either, with a few exceptions, including Congressman Ryan. Unless we're prepared as a nation to be straight about this and tell people in our generation, hey, look what you're doing to your kids and your grandkids. If we're not willing to do that, nothing much is going to happen. It took the Obama administration almost 3 years to send over the free trade agreements on Panama, Korea, and Colombia. They should have been over the first day of the Obama administration. Sitting on them for 3 years cost American agriculture a lot of money, and there was no reason to do that. Why did they sit there? Because of opposition from the labor unions. And when you've got your constituencies are labor unions and the beneficiaries of the entitlement programs, reform, leadership reform coming out of the presidency is really, really difficult. What we have to hope, being optimistic about it, as Jack is, that you now have a lame duck president who doesn't have to run again, and hopefully he'll be willing to take some political risks with his own constituencies that he was unwilling to do so in his first term. I think that's enough for now. Let's go to some questions.
You could absolutely.
Just to comment on what Secretary Yoder had to say, the Social Security program can be fixed by tinkering with the contributions and other elements of the program, kind of minor sort of changing. Medicare is a different matter. And the problem in Medicare is that half the money paid out on Medicare is spent in the last 3 months of our life. The end-of-life cost in this country is enormous. We'll do anything to keep our friends and loved ones alive for another week or month or two. And how do you deal with that? You think people want to talk about it? Of course not. People complain about it, but when it comes to finding a remedy, will not. They're not about to pull the plug on my grandma. She may not live more than a month longer. They're not going to do it. And you can't expect people to do it. It's a kind of thing that is so terribly, terribly complicated and difficult because of the aspects of it involved. I think what we're going to eventually have to do is just decide that we're going to keep grandma alive. We're going to pay these end-of-life costs, even though they are horrendous, and we're going to set aside the money to do it.
No, I agree. Medicare is going to be very costly. I don't know the answer to it. But on Social Security, I want to say something about Social Security. When Social Security was enacted under Roosevelt, and everybody talks about how wonderful it was that he had this idea to have Social Security for everyone, pay in so they have a way to live after they get ready to retire. And, okay, that was fine. At that time, you're only supposed to live to where you were 65 years old, and Social Security started then. So you're supposed to be dead anyway. But today, lifespan is much more. We ought to fix Social Security by increasing the retirement age. People are healthy longer. There's no question about it. Why would we keep it back there? Of course, you look at Europe, some have gone back to 58 or 60 years old or younger than that, I don't know. And that's one reason why they're in trouble. We cannot do this. We got to live with reality. Now, that's my few words on Social Security.
All right, we're going to go to some questions. All right,
and that's not even a farm bill.
First question, Ken Root.